Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. And I'm excited today because I have someone that I hadn't met before, but I've been following him for years. And I'm excited to have him as a guest. Richard Wilson, thank you for being with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me here, Sharon.
So for those of you, I want to make sure I get his bio right because it's kind of exciting. He's got incredible knowledge. He's the founder of the very largest association of ultra-wealthy investors. So he's in the know. And he is also the founder of Family Offices with over 2,000 registered members called the Family Office. Now, we'll talk about what the definition of family office means. And then he also has 77 investor clients that he works with directly through his company called Centi Millionaire Advisors and PrivateEquity.com. So I'm absolutely delighted to have you with me, Richard, because I really have been following you for years. So tell us a little bit about how you got into this arena.
Sure. Yeah. Well, 13 years ago, I started this in 2007, just trying to teach myself what the ultra wealthy wanted, how to meet with them more often, how to attract them to do business. And I started sharing what I was learning online. And I kind of accidentally got some exposure on the front page of some big newspapers and got speaking invites at about 150 different conferences globally, and then realized there was a real thirst for knowledge of what family offices, which are ultra wealthy, you know, basically investment organizations, what they were doing, what they're wanting, what they're allocating to. And then, you know, we just kept on listening to what people wanted and kept on providing thought leadership, just like you do, you know, here on the webinar.
Yeah. And I think it's fantastic because, you know, what I like about family offices, and you can speak to this as well, because of course I talk about the whole family. So many times some of the most respected family offices, also what they do is they educate future generations. So share a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So we've found that when somebody reaches 10 million plus in assets, especially if they're 20, 50 million plus in assets, that they know they're so much wealthier that it's more than enough for their lifetime, typically. And so they're already thinking ahead. Maybe their children are in high school or college many times. They might be working professionals already. And so they know that at some point they want to play more of a chairman role. And they need to think through, is there someone in the family that wants to take over looking over the portfolio? You know, what solution providers or wealth advisors do we use in combination with our own internal team? And figuring that out becomes more natural once you get to that 10, 15, 20 million net worth level. And out of our 77 clients, our average client net worth is 22 million, but our most active 20 clients are the ones that are worth 50 million, 75 or 100 plus, that have a lot more planning to do. But we work with people starting at 3 million. So a full range of client types, but the next generational issue comes up more and more once it gets to that 10 or 15 level.
So a lot of what I teach people is to understand that to the need to buy, build, or create assets for long-term financial wealth and not exchange your time for salary for money, but to invest your time to buy, build, or create assets. And of course, building a strong portfolio is very much a part of that. But a lot of people still have this paycheck, exchanging time for money mentality. What I love about what you've done within, you know, you would be, you know, absolutely set just working with the clients that you have, but you've written books and you provide information that other people can learn from as well. So share a little bit about that.
Yeah. So early on, I realized that I could sell advertisements on our website. I could host an event or get paid to speak at an event, or I could charge money for consulting. And while I did some consulting the first couple of years, I really don't do anymore because it's just like you said, it's just like a job. It's just changing my time for a certain amount of money. Even if that amount of money gets larger over time, there's not huge leverage in doing that. Whereas if I have, like in the Family Office Club, we have almost 1,000 members that are all paying that $200 to $300 a month, then that's more scalable. I can't consult with 1,000 people, but I can have 1,000 members who are getting value from something I created. So I think it's also central to what I suggest family offices do with their time. You know, I suggest that they organize their portfolio into the stock market component, real estate that's cash flowing, and then their operating business components. And they're most wise usually to keep control over the place where they created their wealth, which is usually the operating business. And I don't have any clients that created their wealth and became ultra wealthy because of consulting or because they had a high paying job at a law firm or a high paying job as a doctor. All of them grew a business and sold it, or grew a business with many employees and that leveraged their time. And that's how they created true wealth for themselves.
Yeah. And that's what we teach. I mean, by building a business that solves a problem or serves a need is the quickest way to create value and generational wealth. Right. If we'd had this interview when we originally scheduled it, we wouldn't have the conversation we're going to have today, because right now right. We're on a major roller coaster with everything that's happening in the world. So share a little bit about what you're doing to protect your clients at this point, given the roller coaster market that we find ourselves in right now. And this will air probably a week or two after we've done it, but I think it'll still be very appropriate.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, so one thing we talked about is that I think that there's going to be more virus scares like this and more lockdowns in the future, kind of like the naming of hurricanes coming out of the Caribbean or something. They're going to say, oh, we've got this new virus coming out of Brazil or the Philippines, or, you know, and so politicians will get scrutinized if they don't lock down things more aggressively, despite the other people that think they're bankrupting, you know, half of America in the meantime. So I think that that's going to be something it's not going to be a one-time event. I think people are going to go on lockdown again now because of this. Now that it happened once, we've opened the floodgates to it happening more. So if you think about part of your business is doing well, and have you triple down on that, or you look around and say, who are those 5% of businesses who are doing very well in this environment? Not just like the Zoom types, but lots of healthcare, you know, immunity.
Yeah, I wish I bought Zoom 2 months ago, right?
Right, exactly. And there's many companies that are doing very well right now. It might only be 8% of all companies that are doing very well, but there are some. So internally, you know, we've made our business at the Family Office Club much more virtual, and we're doing daily investor interviews and uploading those to our portal, and we're adapting in many other ways. But I'm encouraging my clients to look at how they could consider investments that are doing very well now. They existed and made profits before the crisis. They're going to do fine after the crisis. But then the next time that this virus crisis hits, that part of their business will surge again and grow and do threefold the revenue, while everything else shrinks by maybe 2/3 or 80%. And in that way, they'll be ready for this the next time around. And then also interest rates are low. So refinancing commercial or residential properties, if they have businesses, applying for the low interest rate SBA loans to get access to capital, which could help them recover and expand after this. Those are some of the things that we're talking about most often.
I love it, because that's exactly what I've been talking about to my folks for the last couple of weeks, particularly get started now with the SBA loan before they're completely inundated. Get your application in. And found with our clients that do it at midnight, you have a less likelihood of the site crashing, because that's been a big problem, people have said.
Wow.
That's crazy. Hands-on experience. So do it in the middle of the night and you'll have a lot easier time than trying to do it when everybody else is online. But also the thought, you know, we've been investing into the market because obviously it's going to come back, and now's the time to find the fire sales on some of these companies that have strong fundamentals. And then also the whole concept of refinancing is a big, I just was on the phone with a client yesterday, and she's got a HELOC that is crazy and with total strong fundamentals. And she she's in the process of seeing what she can refinance to be able to get it in a much more reasonable, because now is the time to do it. Never had cheaper money with the Fed at 0%. And we just actually refinanced the stuff we had for 2.5% and 3%. So that's pretty darn good. So we're looking,
That's great. That's great. Yeah, we're looking at maybe redoing one of ours as well. And I guess if anyone does have liquidity and they're sitting on an emergency fund, it could be a good time to spend money, because one of my friends just filled his warehouse with supplies he needs for the next 12 months for his business. And he was able to negotiate half off with some of his suppliers. And we buy a lot of stuff from Dell, like ink, et cetera. And they said they wouldn't give us more than 15% off. So we said, okay, well, we'll keep our money then. I guess you don't need the sales.
That's what we've been doing as I'm sitting here recording this from our ranch. We're doing the same thing. Yeah. Okay, so what do we need here, equipment wise, building wise? Now is the time to get things really inexpensively, because people want to keep their doors open and they're willing to give you a better deal. So yeah, definitely a good time to make some investment dollars that you know you need to make anyway at some point in the future. So definitely.
For sure.
So what do you see is the future for your organization? If people are looking to get the kind of support that you have, I think you've written a book. So talk a little bit about how people can access to you and find out more about what your brilliance.
Nice for you to put it that way, I guess. Well, we've got our Family Office podcast. We update every single day, same with our social media channels for Family Office Club. We do a virtual investor discussion panel every week, a live webinar every week, and then every day we interview an investor and we upload that to the portal as well. And I think it's going to make our company much stronger. We usually do 30 live events a year. Once the virus is gone, we'll go back to the 30 live events. But if we can, we're going to keep on doing the daily investor interviews and get their insights and put them up in the portal. And we do kind of a Netflix subscription leaning, and also an annual subscription option for members to make it so people can come and try out the platform and stay if they like it, et cetera. And just like we were talking about, because it's virtual now instead of live, it's easier for people to attend from all over. And then we reduce the price to $14.50 a year from the $24.50 it was. And we'll move that price back up when live events come back. But for now, you know, we keep it low and then people can lock in a year. But also on the investor side, what we're doing is making it easier and removing the friction of working together. So if any of your followers are in the investment business, we used to have agreements signed via PDF. Then we went to DocuSign in Q4 last year. And now we have a embedded form on our website that's just for investors, not for people raising capital, but it's called privateequity.com. And you can go there and complete an agreement, become a client, fill out an onboarding survey, schedule your phone call. And then I get on the phone with the investor client. And that process of making it all online and easy has made such a big difference that in 5 months last year, we attracted 14 clients. And now this year, with that going live in the middle of January, we're at 77 clients that we have signed on with investors. And so I think removing friction is a big theme for us right now. And then looking for conservative investments is a theme. So we're looking for things that are healthcare related or that are doing well, or subscription companies that are charging $20 a month or less, and they have hundreds, if not thousands, of subscriptions that won't get cut in a bad time. Or just conservative things that are income related or life settlements or like a dental clinic chain that we're conducting due diligence to invest in. So some of that stuff might sound a little boring. We're not looking for the next Facebook app or the cannabis startup that's going to get you 1,000 times return. That's not what my clients look to me for. We're looking for moderate returns. And I guess just removing the friction from the process is a big, big theme, like I said.
Well, I love that. Removing the friction. Wouldn't we all like to remove more friction in our lives right now? So the ups and downs. Right. So I hate it when people ask me this question, but I'm going to ask you anyway. So from a standpoint of where you sit, when we're looking at this, you know, this virus thing going on for, you know, the economy is, the market's up 3,000 points, down 3,000, you know, it's been up and down so much. What do you see when do you think at this point that there'll be more stability in the market? Are we looking before the election or are we looking at a long-term impact?
I think it's the CDC said no events over 50 people all the way till May 15th, or more than, I think, even 10 or 25 people right now, but all the way out till May 15th, the CDC is saying that. Well, Donald Trump is kind of aiming for mid-April, late April. I hope that we go back to a halfway normal world by May 1st, mostly normal by June 1st, and then you're allowed to host at least up to 200 people events, I would hope, by July or August. I mean, I'm biased because I really, we survive off of doing live events normally before we had to pivot to this, but that's kind of the plan we see there. But we have many clients who say that if Donald Trump is not reelected and a Democrat gets elected, they think the economy is going to tank fast. And so some of my clients were selling assets already and they wanted to be really liquid. So when the election comes, if he gets reelected, they go back in. But if he doesn't, then they're already halfway or most of the way out of their illiquid stuff. And then they would just pull out of the stock market, et cetera, and wait for it to crash and then go back in. If it doesn't recover much from the virus, like if it only recovers 20% out of the 30 some percent, I haven't looked at the market today, so it might have already climbed again for the third day today. But, if it doesn't recover as much, I wonder with the election coming up, how many people will stay a little bit timid, either from getting burned or because of that volatility. But, our expertise is really in setting up a family office or a virtual family office and helping people access direct investments, like investing into a self-storage facility or a dental clinic or a life settlement investment that's like an alternative type investment, and less so on like being stock market experts. So we really don't, chime in too much on public markets. Luckily on February 28th, because of our business ties to Singapore, I went to cash, like 95% cash in my portfolio. And it's the first time in 13 years I made a stock market call on our podcast, not giving a recommendation, but just saying, hey, I'm selling all my stuff. Is anybody else? And, I was lucky on the timing of that, thank God. But I know some people were not, and they're still kind of licking their wounds from that. And
sure.
So I'm not sure. Yeah.
Well, what I love about it, and I think I want to reiterate what you were just sharing, because within your clients, you support them. And when we talk about, going across all asset categories, it's not just paper assets. And so many investment advisors want to talk about just paper assets. And it's important, as we talk about, is investing in businesses or real estate as well as the market, right?
Yeah, I think it's a major gap. So we are a RIA, registered as one through our Senta Millionaire Advisors LLC division, which is what's behind privateequity.com. The Family Office Club is more of a networking association. And what you just pointed out is a huge gap in the market. So we don't do any traditional wealth management. We can help point people to who we think are best in class, or groups that we're aligned with. But importantly, most wealth advisors, if you tell them you want to invest in a real estate property downtown or invest in a company, they might say, well, be careful. They might give you some guidance. But really, they want you to point click and put your money in their REIT on their platform, so your report prints out nicely and they're not going to go and walk the roof of a building with you typically. Or they might not help with the acquisition of a company. They may, but most don't. Most are just wanting you to put stuff into their stock portfolios and ETFs and point right. click, print out a nice report. So I think that's important for people to realize, is that
where they get commission. Where they get a commission, yes.
Right. And where it's efficient for them. It's their business model. So,
well, everybody watching and listening, I want you to rewind with paper and pencil, because Richard just gave us incredible information. And you need, even if you don't have the $3 to $10 million in assets to invest with Richard, his wisdom is there, and the information that he's sharing is very important. So, Richard, is there a website? How's the quickest? Is it familyoffice.com? What's the quickest way for somebody to find you?
Yeah, the best way is just going to familyoffices.com, plural, familyoffices.com. And we've got a free book there that would educate people on the basics of the industry. We have links to our 250 YouTube videos, our Family Office podcast, whole bunch of free resources, 100 plus resources. And then there's also details on the membership and the Family Office Club.
And I've read
there
the book
as well. And then
read
you did?
The book.
Oh, great.
It's fabulous. Yep. I got it. Probably, probably a year, year and a half ago. How long has it been out? I actually got it through Amazon.
Through Amazon. Yeah. We have, I've actually written 13 books in the last 13 years. And so, the one on that website is a 4-year-old book, but we released one just last year. as well. So maybe that was the most recent one that
you read. Yeah, that might be the one I got. Yeah, it was good. Very good. So I recommend all of you go to find familyoffices.com to find out more about Richard. And we'll probably keep, you know, I think we'll keep in touch, Richard, maybe have you back as we continue to see things moving. And you're going to stay with me to do a second interview for the private Facebook group called Play Big Movement with Sharon Lecter. So those of you watching and listening, if you're not a member, please go join up with us. It's free. We want to just continue sharing a little bit more on the personal side of things, so that your Richard's personal habits, what he's doing, what he contributes to his success, as well as the things that he's reading or the people that he's following right now. So stay tuned and join us on the Play Big Movement private Facebook group. And Richard, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your wisdom.
Everybody, yeah, thank you, Sharon.
Thank you. And everybody, thank you for watching. Have a brilliant day. Until next time. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.